Hello and welcome. You're listening to Stay You Boo with me, Meg.
And me, Sam. The podcast where we have a coffee and unashamedly discuss whatever comes to mind.
From taboo topics to navigating life as a millennial.
Imagine a coffee date.
Or brunch.
With your bestie, but with a whole load of tech involved.
So without further ado, let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about periods. And this one is not just for people who have periods. It is for everyone. Just because almost half of the adult population do not experience periods doesn't mean they don't need to know about them. Like, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah. And like, there's many reasons why we may not talk about it, like personal embarrassment or, I don't know, squeamishness. Some people just don't like blood. But to them, I say, get over yourselves. Everybody bleeds.
Yes.
Whether it's through a period or just through a normal cut.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it's not going away anytime soon.
Alas.
I know. I mean, that's what I have just always hoped for. And I suppose it will when I go through the menopause.
Yeah. But I think it's an interesting one because, yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it sucks most of the time, and it comes with lots of other things that we will get into later. But we are very lucky to be experiencing them because it means a healthy sexual system.
And just a healthy body in general. Like, it can, I mean, I'm not saying if you have a period, then you are healthy, but it can be an indicator of general systemic health.
Yes.
But they're still a ball ache.
Yeah, they are, man. But like, I think there's many reasons why people wouldn't have periods.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those include some not very nice things.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
So I think just like to bear in mind that although they suck,
we shouldn't aim to not have them.
Yes.
Even think something like stress can be a reason for you not to have your period.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think being aware of your body and things like that, it's really, really important. And your period can be a like really good indicator of how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you normally have really regular periods and then you don't have one for ages, like maybe think about like, well, one, are you pregnant? Also just like, are you really stressed? Have you been eating differently? Or are you taking any different medications or anything like that? It could just be like quite a good indicator, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's also very important to be aware of what's normal for you,
mm-hmm,
rather than what's normal for the general percentage of people that have periods, because that's not a thing.
No, I don't know where they get those statistics from sometimes.
Honestly.
No one's ever asked me how long my period lasts. So where are they getting these figures from?
That's so true. Do you know, sometimes people are like, oh, these surveys that they take. It's like, what surveys? Who are they asking? I want to know.
I want to be part of this.
That's my opinion. It matters.
And yeah, I might tell you a fake answer just to skew it. Because I can.
Oh, God. You're the worst kind of person.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. That's terrible.
Please do not commit fraud in your survey taking.
Oh, yeah. That is a very good disclaimer.
So we'll get into our first kind of section, which is around like the shame of periods.
I just think it's so unhealthy. Like, when I'm on my period and I need to go to the toilet and like change my tampon, I'm tucking it up my sleeve or like shoving a pad down my top or something, mm-hmm, trying to hide it.
The worst is when you like forget yours and you have to like whisper to your friend and be like, do you have any? And then they like sneakily pass it under it's like a transaction. It's like, you know, those handshakes with like the secret money handshakes. It's like that, but with like tampons and pads. It's great.
That's so
we're
true.
Like a secret society.
I know. But then sometimes, like, I've been in a girl's bathroom and it's literally just been like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, honestly, that's the worst realization.
And then, like, you just hear from a cubicle, like, has anyone got a tampon? But it was really wholesome because, like, there were like three girls in there who were like, yeah, like, it was just really wholesome.
Oh, that is really great. We do all need to band together in times like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we need to acknowledge that it isn't just women who have periods. It can affect so many people, non-binary people, transgender people, just anybody who doesn't necessarily identify as a woman.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to acknowledge that not all women have periods as well.
Yes, definitely.
So we are not talking about cisgendered women here. We're talking about everybody that experience a period.
Yes. And I just think, again, that's something that we don't talk about. Like, when we were at school, we were split into boys and girls. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing the little inverted commas, which don't come across well over podcasts.
The sentiment is there.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, we were split into boys and girls, and, like, that just brings with it so many problems. Like, first of all, almost implying that half of the population just don't need to be aware of periods. But also, if you're somebody who is struggling with their gender identity, like, where do you fit in? Mm-hmm. You're learning about one thing and feeling a completely different thing. And it's just, why can't they just do sex education? Or just better in general, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it is, like, there's a lot of safeguarding that goes into sex education. Mm. So I do feel for them in terms of it is, especially at a young age, a sensitive topic to introduce into the curriculum. However, I think there is a lot of progress to be made. And I agree that I noticed you mentioned kids that might be struggling with their gender identity, but not all non-binary or genderqueer or transgender people do struggle with it. They know.
Mm.
And it can be a difficult time for them specifically because they've been kind of brushed into this bracket that they don't identify with. So they're learning the wrong things, really. But in terms of, like, the overall education, people who don't menstruate should still know how menstruation works.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a normal physiological, like, occurrence that happens to such a large proportion of the population so
absolutely
often.
And it affects a relationship.
Yes.
Like, if you are in a heterosexual relationship, one person generally mm-hmm. will menstruate and one person wouldn't in that specific circumstance. So you should know how each other's bodies works.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that's just my, like, logical conclusion to that.
I mean, even if you're not in a relationship with somebody like that, like a romantic relationship, yeah. I think just being aware that, like, once a month or more or less, depending on your cycle and things like that, like, the chances are you're going to exhibit some symptoms, whether that be, like, cramps, mood swings, like,
mm-hmm.
spots.
Ugh, acne.
Honestly. Just having a general sort of awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so important. And, like, and that is not making it okay for people to be like, oh, it's because you're on your period, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I hate that.
Don't you dare.
Like, I'm allowed to use my period as an excuse. You are not.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care whether you have a period or not.
Exactly. You make a great point.
Do not tell me how my period is affecting me.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, honestly, I just think it is ridiculous. It's just, periods are so different for everyone. You can't make assumptions.
And that's what can make it so confusing, which is why the shame and the embarrassment and the stigma that surrounds the topic is so damaging.
Yeah.
Because people feel like they can't talk about it, and people can't feel like, without talking about it, you can't realize how different everybody works.
Yeah.
And how normal it is to not have the same periods as somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And I think as well, like, it can be either end of the spectrum. Either, like, you think that you're really, really abnormal because of, like, your cycle length or something like that, which and then it turns out actually everyone's really varied, or you assume that what you're experiencing is the norm and it's not. And I think that could actually be like, it could be dangerous. Like if you're having really, really heavy periods or really, really painful periods, like that could be a sign of something underlying. It could be a medical condition, and it could also be something that's like fairly simple to solve. And mm-hmm. because we don't talk about it, because we're embarrassed, people won't go to their doctors to talk yeah. about it. And so they'll stay living with this pain that comes every month, or they will not go into work or school 2 days a month because their period is too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like,
it's just like suffering for absolutely no need.
Exactly. And it's just so much of it is just because of embarrassment.
Yes. And it's something that can usually be treated.
Yeah.
So since you are of the medical background, would you like to go into what constitutes a normal period?
No. So
good answer.
I guess, yeah. I guess, so textbook normal period would be it's 28-day cycle and you bleed for 5 days of those 28 days. In medical terms, they think that anything over 80 mils is a heavy menstrual period. And I just can't. Like, where
can
do
we just get by measuring jug out?
Yeah. What do you think we are doing during our period? Just every time we feel a bit of blood, we are squatting over a measuring jug. But I think that is the thing. Like, you can over-medicalize it to an extent as well. Because, like, to be fair, the definition is moving on of, like, heavy periods. And now it is more to do with the impact the period is having on the individual's life or how they function.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you can't go to school 2 days a week, 2 days a month, sorry, because of your period, like, that's clearly having a negative impact on you. Yeah. If it's impacting your mental health, it's making you, like, really low, depressed. Like, mm-hmm. that's really important.
Well, I have friends that it makes them physically sick. But, like, I think it's actually quite common.
Yeah, it's more common than I think people realise. But at the same time, I think the fact that it's common doesn't mean that we should accept it. Because I think that's something that's really easy to do. Just be like, oh, this happens to a lot of people, therefore it's okay. And it's like, no, if something is making you feel low or down or it's stressing you out, like, there's possibly something that can be done.
Yeah, and I would say that's a general comment about medicine,
mm-hmm.
that people have different levels of what is tolerable to them, what affects their daily yes. life. And if there is anything that affects you on a day-to-day basis that can be medically discussed, then it should be medically discussed.
I completely agree. I think don't settle would be like my one piece of advice. It's like, you might feel a bit silly going to the GP, but what is the worst that can happen? The worst that could happen is they say, we can't do anything for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And like, yes, it's a little bit embarrassing, but it's not the end of the world. Like, you would much rather have checked than have it just affect your life, assuming that it's nothing when it actually is something that could so easily be solved. But also, if you are uncomfortable with the idea of going to, like, booking an appointment with your GP, you can ask them to call you back. Like, if you feel like you're wasting their time by going in and having, like, a 10 to 15 minute appointment, just ask them to call you back when they've got a spare minute. Like, that's a thing that GPs offer, and they're usually quite happy to answer a question over the phone if it is something that can be answered over the phone.
Yeah, definitely. And just sort of in keeping with that is, I would say if you are invited for any screening, whether that be screening for breast cancer or for bowel cancer, or if you're offered a smear, please, please go. Like, don't be embarrassed. These people literally do like hundreds of smears a month and they really don't care.
Not only don't be embarrassed, but please don't be complacent. either. Don't just assume that because everything is fine, then like, or you feel fine, you feel what your version of normal is. Like, your body is a weird thing. So generally, you'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, like, regardless of your sexual orientation, your sexual history, your general health, your menstrual history, just go. It's 2 minutes, like, and it could save you a lot of hassle further down the line.
On that topic, I think talking about periods and the menstrual cycle and things like that to include non-binary, transgender, genderqueer is super important, specifically for a medical context as well. Because if we keep ignoring them or keeping them out of the conversation, then if they are in a medical emergency or if they are in a situation where they're not sure whether they should be going to a GP, that puts them at risk. And whether you agree with their lifestyle or their choices or not choices in a lot of cases, it has completely, it's a completely separate thing to whether they deserve healthcare.
Yeah.
Like, no, everybody deserves healthcare. And whatever your take on the whole thing, please don't be that person that discourages someone to go and see a medical professional just because of your opinion or your views.
And if you are a medical professional listening to this, like, we are by no means experts, but there are so many resources out there for you to go and learn from in terms of how to address people who might not be cisgender. Especially like if you're going for a smear or something like that, an intimate examination, like that's already stressful enough as it is without somebody calling you girl or love or she, if that's not how you feel comfortable being addressed.
Yeah.
So I would just urge you to try and educate yourself a bit. I'll leave some links in the show notes to things that people might find useful, both like medical professionals and not, but I think this is a topic we want to discuss a lot more.
Yes.
In another episode.
I think we're both aware of some really great activists. So, yeah, I think we'll be discussing it in greater detail and linking lots of resources for everybody, because I think it's so important to be able to relate to who you're learning from as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I love the Gynae Geek on Instagram.
Yes.
For information, and like the food medic is quite good as well.
Yeah, I would like to shout out the Period Prince. I think he goes by C on Instagram. Is a really great non-binary source for periods.
Oh, I'll have a little look at that. Thank you.
No worries.
That's the thing as well. There is so much information out there now. Like, I remember if you just asked me like a few years ago, I'd have never heard of a menstrual cup. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought there were two options.
There are so many products. Yeah. And that is what that's what we learned when we were kids in that horrendous experience that we would not like to revisit.
Oh my gosh. They put a tampon into a jug of water and it just exploded. And I was like, you want me to put that where?
Yeah, it's not great. But yes, there are so many products. So many products.
Honestly.
I mean, if it's not too personal a question, what do you prefer to use, Meg?
I prefer tampons, to be honest. Because I find them, for me, it just feels a little bit like cleaner almost.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anything else is dirty, but just for me personally. But then obviously, like, overnight, I wouldn't like leave a tampon in. So you just use pads overnight, or if it's a really light flow, because nobody likes a dry tampon, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, on that note, dry tampons can be really dangerous because there's such a thing as toxic shock syndrome, which is horrendous.
And that is my other problem with tampons, is sometimes, like, if I'm really busy, I don't get the chance to go to the toilet. And so then I won't have changed my tampon for like 9 hours. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die. I'm going to get toxic shock.
But it happens, like busy schedules, lack of toilets, especially in lockdown where most of the public toilets are now closed. Yeah. So yeah, it's something to be very mindful of.
I really want to, I need to invest in, or don't need to, but I really would like to invest in a menstrual cup because I keep meaning to.
Yeah, it's very good for the environment.
Yeah, some people swear by them.
Yeah, I've heard. I have tried it myself and I am not a fan at all.
That's fair.
I found it very uncomfortable. However, I have literally heard people sing its praises so much. So you just have to find what works for you, I guess.
Yeah, I was listening to, I will try and remember which podcast it was, but I can't remember right now. Mm-hmm. So they provided period products for people who couldn't otherwise access them. And so they just relied on donations. Mm-hmm. And apparently they had quite a lot of backlash of people sort of saying, like, why can't you just provide everybody with a menstrual cup? Because then you wouldn't have to carry on doing this. They just addressed the fact that actually, no, that's not okay. Some people, it's genuinely like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Some people, it might not necessarily like fit with their culture, or mm-hmm. they might not have access to clean water to wash it in, or you have to feel comfortable enough to be able to boil it in like mm-hmm. a pan in a house you live in. So if you live in shared exactly. accommodation, you might not, and that's okay. Exactly. Like, don't ever feel guilty for your choice of like menstrual product. That's the thing, like, I genuinely feel guilty for saying I don't use a menstrual cup right now.
I think there's a lot of like eco-minded people who, I mean, the menstrual cup is a great eco-friendly option whereby you don't mm-hmm. have to use all the cotton pads and whatnot. I don't really know the ins and outs of the materials used. But there's a lot of like disposable stuff that comes with period products. So yes, the menstrual cup is a reusable option, but there are other reusable options, by the way.
Yeah.
Which I have been recently introduced to.
Period pants.
Period pants have changed my life.
Have you got some?
I have, and they are freaking amazing. I love them.
What?
Like,
so
honestly.
So wait, how often do you have to change them?
So I've got the 8-hour/overnight ones, but they are so comfortable. They have like the thickness around where they need to.
Yeah.
And you literally just wear them and that's it. Like, you don't have to like clean them throughout use, like throughout the 8 hours. You don't need to do anything. You literally just be. And then you rinse them with water afterwards until they run clear and then chuck them in the wash. And that's it.
Oh my gosh.
And like, honestly, okay. it's not practical for like everyday use unless you purchase one for each day of your period. Or like multiple for each day, depending on you and your period. But like the way that the material is, the ones I've got, they limit the amount of smell, like odor. They have like, they're nicely fitted so that they cover all areas. But then there's also an option of different styles. So depending on what you're comfortable with wearing for underwear, they've got like the shorts or the boy briefs. They've got like the Brazilian style ones, so they've got like all different styles of underwear, and they are freaking incredible in my opinion. But again,
wow.
might work for some people, might not. I haven't found a flaw in them yet. But I'll keep you updated.
I love this. I might have to look into it, even if it's just for overnight.
I have found a flaw in them. They are a little bit expensive for underwear. But when you think about how much you'd save on other products, I guess it kind of balances out long term.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's worth it. Like, yeah. If it works for you as well. Like,
exactly. Like, just try it. Give it a go. There's also reusable pads. Is a thing as well.
Oh, I didn't know about reusable pads. I know you can get like a lot of it, or there are a few like environmentally friendly options in terms of ones that are like aren't made of plastic, basically.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard of reusable ones.
I mean, I guess the ones that aren't made of plastic, would you just throw them away afterwards?
I think so. But I think it's that they can biodegrade.
Right, I'm with you. Yes, I have seen those, especially for tampons.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, reusable pads are, they're very similar to the underwear, but they are like a pad that you kind of clip around where the pads usually go. And then you can, so they're made of material and I don't know what they use for absorbance in the middle, but it's, I've heard they're very good. And then you just unclip it when you're done, rinse it with water and then chuck it in the wash, similar to the underwear.
Oh, okay. That's decent. There are just so many options.
Yeah. But I think when it comes to certain things, it's important to be comfortable. And yes, if you are eco-minded, that is also very important too. That you have to weigh it up and you have to decide whether it's worth that comfort. If that makes sense.
Definitely. And I think as well, we just need to acknowledge that we're very privileged that we have access to these products. I want to just touch on like period poverty. I went to a protest a few years ago about it outside Parliament, and it's a worldwide issue with people not being able to access menstrual products who need them. But it's also like, what struck me was the prevalence in Britain and just the number of people who will miss days of school and things like that because they're on their period. And it's like, we're supposedly a developed country, like whatever that's meant to mean, but we still can't provide our population with like basic sanitary products. And I just think that's ridiculous. And I feel very, very lucky that I am able to have a choice of sanitary product.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that I've had to worry about. But there are girls who have to use like socks or tissues, and it's not fair. It really, really isn't fair. And we just shouldn't take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Menstrual products are very expensive, unfortunately. So there are a lot of people that can't afford them or feel too embarrassed to go and buy them, and that extends to being too embarrassed to go to see the doctor about anything menstrual related. So yeah, it is something to be aware of, and to encourage kids that are kind of reaching that age to not be embarrassed to talk about it, with obviously with someone they trust, but yeah, just to open that conversation to know that they can reach out to you, or never feel alone, because it would be so silly. Like, as you said, it's almost half the population that experiences periods. It would be ridiculous that anybody would feel alone in it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like I said, it's so prevalent in Britain, which we don't seem to acknowledge. And in other countries, the situation is bleaker. There's like less education. Like, we think ours is bad, but sometimes there are no sanitary products at all. And in some cultures, people are deemed as dirty when they're menstruating. And during that time, they're not allowed to go to places of worship. They're not even allowed to go into, say, the kitchen or see certain family members.
Yeah.
There's a really good podcast that I listened to about this, the Masala podcast. I'll link it below. Just again, considering other cultures' relationships with menstruation. Because I think, although I complain about it, the way that we deal with it here, I do again recognize that it's a lot better, and in some circumstances.
On that note, it's important to acknowledge where you have privilege, but it is okay to recognize that there is still a great need for development in that area. Like, you can have it better than people, but also still need to develop or grow in that subject, or, you know, that area of society. And I think we do also need, especially in the education system, to think about how we want to teach children about this topic, because it does affect the way that they think about it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is definitely a topic that we could talk for hours about.
Mm.
Like, maybe even do like a separate episode on like gynecological conditions,
mm-hmm.
or another one on period poverty, because it's just, it's so complex. And I don't think we acknowledge that either. I think it's just almost seen as something that's just like very one size fits all, like this is how a period works.
Or yeah, or like a need to know basis.
Yes, exactly. The main thing I want people to take from this is like, don't hesitate to speak out. Like, be the one who starts the conversation.
Absolutely.
Like, someone will be grateful that you did.
Yeah.
There'll be someone out there who was like, oh, I was wondering about that. I wasn't sure. So go for it. Be brave.
Yeah.
It's scary, but...
And speak out when you feel like you need to.
Yeah.
If you've had a different experience that you feel is being swept over or ignored, then tell people about it.
Yeah. Teach them if you feel like you can.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not your job. But
no, of course.
Let's start the conversation and normalize it, because it's bloody important.
Like what you did there.
Yes. I am the master of a pun. So I think we'll leave that there for today. We've gone on quite a bit.
We've covered a lot within this topic.
Yeah, and there's still so much more, which is absolutely wild.
Yeah. And I think we're also still educating ourselves around the topic as well. Never stop learning.
Oh, for sure. So in the meantime, if you've got any opinion on what we've said or what you want us to talk about next, then please get in touch, like comment on our posts on Instagram or slide into our DMs.
Love a good slide.
We really do. So our Instagram is @stay_you_boo. So yeah, go and give us a follow. And if you can like, subscribe and share. I think those are the three things.
Comment as well if you like.
Yeah, just all of the things. That would be great.
So as always, stay you boo.